Week number 10, which, by the way, is the first week of the playoffs, gentlemen. That's gentlemen. I use that term lightly, loosely, and lightly, I guess, for Stephen Grace and Matthew Chenander, along with Jason Miller here on the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on WestBranchFootball.com. I miss one week, and I'm demoted to third in the list of names. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. And
well, I never miss a week.
You know, Stephen, I've been here every week. I don't know. No, maybe you missed one, Stephen, but you're the voice of the Bears. You get a freebie each and every year. So the Bears got to play a little free football. We get an extra week of football last week in the quarterfinal, the round of 16. I just preempted things by saying the quarterfinals. Well, they won 23-0 at home on a nice dry football field at the Little Rose Bowl, Butch Peterson Field at the Little Rose Bowl on Office Street in historic downtown West Branch. And what's the other part, Matt?
At the Little Rose Bowl on the campus of the award-winning West Branch Community Schools.
That was it.
On Oliphant Street in historic downtown West Branch.
Well, Butch Peterson Field, though. You forgot that part, but...
No, it's Butch Peterson Field at the Little Rose Bowl.
Right.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there. The good news is the Bears played there last week, and they won 23-0. Steven got the first crack last week. Well, Matt, since you decided to wake up, we'll give you first impressions and thoughts this week.
Really, the thing that stood out to me was really that the first few plays of the game. West Branch kicks off, starts on defense, force a Lynx three and out, and Wyatt Goodale takes in the punt return on the Bears' side of the 50 and returns it all the way down to the Lynx 11-yard line. So the Bears get to start the game in the red zone, almost inside the 10 with the first and goal. Now, they didn't get a touchdown out of that, but they did get a Cale Federline field goal. And I think that was a perfect way to start this game, just kind of calm everybody down. There was a lot of excitement, but I think it gave the team a lot of confidence. A lot of excitement, which breeds confidence for the rest of the game. And I think one of the questions I had is just the field conditions, really, and how was that going to impact the kicking game? And it showed there that, you know, the snap, hold, kick, everything was perfect. Field conditions didn't play a factor into that and really into any of the, really a lot of the game the whole evening, which was really nice. So kudos to everybody who helped getting that field ready. But yeah, I think that first Bears defensive stand and then the offense just getting some points on the board there really kicked things off perfectly well. And something we can talk a little bit about later too, as I'm sure we'll talk about the Bears defense, but Bears defense bent at times, but I mean, did not break. And we can talk about why.
There we go. Matthew Chenander stealing the thunder. I was about ready to bring, bless his heart. Steven, as I kick it to you, you've probably looked at that drive chart. Maybe you already have your piece of paper. You did in front of you as you did the play-by-play last Friday night, looking at the breakdown of Northland. Of course, they did not score, so it's not going to say touchdown or field goal or safety. Punt, fumble, punt, punt, downs, fumble, interception, punt. So you're looking at 10 possessions where they only got past, they only had, let's see, 5 first downs in 10 possessions. That's pretty decent defense.
Yeah, and if you continue on after you stopped there with punt, it went downs, downs, interceptions. So,
right.
I mean,
that's a perfect rap sheet almost.
It was a game that coming into it, you know, concerned because, you know, Northland, a deceptive 7-2 record. You know, you get to the playoffs, you know that you're going to be playing a good team. They had a really athletic offensive line. They had a phenomenal quarterback that, you know, we said how good he was running the football, but we saw him, you know, even on a bad night weather-wise, he made a couple of pretty good throws as well. But that Bears defense, yeah, bend but don't break. And two things really jump out in particular, you know, aside from, you know, maybe they did give up, you know, 15, 20 yards at a time to Miller, but they were able to respond after that and shut things down. But in particular, you look, they get the ball down inside the 10, you know, first and goal. We turn them away at the 4-yard line. They threw it on fourth down because they didn't feel like they could rush it against us. And then again, they had the ball near midfield, just trying to get anything just for some points. I mean, there was 5 minutes left in the game, whatever. And two plays in a row, third down and one, fourth down and one, and they try the quarterback sneak, and they come up 2 inches short. I mean, that defensive line, we picked them as our polar bears of the game. They just played phenomenal. The linebackers, the second, I mean, that entire unit played just a great game of football all around. And, you know, against a Northland team that was putting up 28 points per contest, to hold them to a shutout, that was really impressive.
Well, I'm going to give you two stats real quick, and then Matt, finish it up, and you can go ahead and go with your scoring. But here we go. I'm going to give you two stats. Who led the team in tackles? The top two tackles, the guys with the most tackles on the team on defense, Daylon Peterson and Morgan Hartz, and they plug up the middle. That's a pretty nice stat to have on your hand when you got the two defensive tackles being your leading guys on the tackle sheet. And secondly, 181 passing, boys, and that would make it, with you add 19 and 129 would be 148 rushing. A nice balance. Nice balance offensive card for Coach Hirschman and the Bears. Matt?
Jason, I think you mentioned it was 10 drives that, or 13 drives that Northland had.
Correct.
On the night. One thing I noticed, by my count, they had 6 drives that made it into West Branch territory. And I think one of those 6 actually was off of either a punt return or a turnover or something like that. So essentially, Five of those drives, they made it into West Branch territory on their own. And all 5 of those three of them ended in turnovers. 2 of them ended in turnover on downs. So as I said earlier, it's that West Branch defense maybe bent a little bit, as you would expect against a good Northland team and what they can do on offense. But when it really came down to it, the Bears found a way, whether it was just stopping them outright on downs, or finding the ball, knocking the ball loose with fumbles or picking the ball off. They found a way to shut them down and score 0 points.
And of those drives, Matt, how many of them would you think got into the "we don't have a sponsorship" red zone?
Not the Case IH red zone.
Yeah. Not the Case IH, sure. No.
Not a sponsor.
No.
2?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And what did those end in?
One of them was turnover. Well, I guess both of them were turnover on downs.
No, one of them was on downs, and yeah, one of them was on a fumble. Jack that's Robertson.
Right. That's right.
Along we the Bears sideline.
Yeah.
That's right. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. And then just, you know, offensively, give kudos to them. Very, very balanced, as you mentioned, Jason. 181 passing, 148 rushing. Had, you know, just as both teams did, a lot of turnovers. You know, the ball was wet, footing, you know, whatever it may be. But I think the offense just really, as they've done all season, I mean, nothing flashy. And in the sense of this offense does not rely on the big flashy plays. Yes, they've had their share of big Tanner Lukowski runs or long passes from Hirschman to Eagle. But they don't rely on those things to score points and to win games. And that is the really nice thing, is you combine a offense that just really just uses their strength, their conditioning, and their good fundamentals, and just work their way down the field to chew up a lot of time, and then rely on their defense to not give up, you know, in this case, any points at all or minimal points all season. So just another good game by the offense of just really using all of their tools that they have available, including the defense. I mean, that is a thing that's in
all the tools in the toolbox. You got to love it. And Steven, one more thing for you, I'll throw it to you, is we put a stat out there yesterday on the World Wide Web. I kind of saved it until Saturday. I didn't want to drown out the fun of a big win. Trey Eagle, Matt mentioned his name. He's definitely one of the tools in the toolbox and one of the more, I guess, decorated tools in the toolbox this year with his statistical prowess. It's now at 802 yards receiving on the season, which is
a school record.
You are right. What else? Who had it before him?
Rylan Carew in 2010.
Yeah, Rylan Carew.
Sorry, I stole that. That was Steve.
And oddly enough, that same year, we had another guy with over 650 yards receiving, Logan Murray. Ran into him last night in all places at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena, and he wanted to make sure and send his congratulations to the team and to tell Trey Eagle, congratulations. Keep it going. Hope you get to 1,000. So there we go.
That would be great.
That would be great, because I would imagine the Bears would be playing a couple more games if that were the case.
Yeah.
But before we get that cart too far ahead of a horse, Matt, how about the scoring summary? We're going to let you try and do it. If you don't do it as well as Steven, You're out.
I know. I tried to up my game a little bit this week. I even thought about okay. like taking Steven's calls and putting That's them right. into the podcast in post here. But
okay, that would have been the
that would have been out. A little been too in. Over the top. I want to set that precedent for myself. I have to do every week, you know, just in case I don't wake up on time or something like that. You know, yeah. As I mentioned earlier, the game got started. The scoring of the game got started rather with a Cale Federlin 25-yard field goal, and really that was set up by a great Bears three and out on their on Northland's first possession, and then a Wyatt Goodale punt return to the 11-yard line. So 3-0 there, and that's where we stood after the first quarter. Second quarter, Tanner Lukowski, a 37-yard touchdown run. And man, I said this up to Troy Shanker there when we were up in the press box Friday, but that is the fastest I have seen Tanner run all season. It just seems like he found another gear that I have not seen just to outrun several Lynx defensive backs. And so the Bears went up 10-0 at that point. Still in the second quarter, right after Jason, you mentioned this earlier, I think it was this play, a Jack Robertson fumble recovery with a 1:32 left in the half. Bears had a first and 10 at the 11-yard line. And on the very first play, Gavin Hirschman finds Dakota Kalberg on just kind of a simple slant over the middle for 11-yard touchdown. And that was Dakota's first varsity touchdown of his career. So congratulations to Dakota there. The PAT was blocked, but Northland was definitely offsides and definitely touched the snappers. So not sure why penalty wasn't called there, but that's all right. So 16.
And I'm not sure why Coach Peterson didn't throw his red flag to have it reviewed. Review it.
Yeah, you can't review those, even in the NFL. And right. if you did, could review it. They're not going to overturn it anyway, so what's it matter? Third quarter, and this happened to be the last score of the game, and it was a big one. Gavin Hirschman screen pass to Tanner Lukowski, who just had nothing but greenfield in front of him. He went 54 yards untouched into the north end zone of the Little Rose Bowl. Federlin's PAT was good this time, 23-0, and no scoring in the fourth. So that is how we ended, 23-0, West Branch victory.
Yeah, he ran right up to the northeast corner, right up Mount Peterson, back down onto the field, the snowbank that was in the northeast corner. So just to close it up, guys, Steven, you can start. When you get in the playoffs, you got to find an equal balance between an offense, a defense, and a special team. They got a field goal. They didn't give up many returns. They had one long return that they gave up on special teams. It was called back on penalty. Everything else, the coverage on kickoffs was fantastic. They didn't give up many punt return yardage. Defensively, what, 5 turnovers? They created 5 turnovers, gave up less than 200 yards to a team that had been averaging about 320, and they didn't give up any points. And offensively, we've already talked about that. So, Steven, in the playoffs, the most important stat was the W.
Yeah, really, at this point, you don't worry how pretty it looks. You don't worry about score margins. You don't worry about anything. And that's not anything that, this team has cared about. They just, get the job done. That's all they worry about. But, the other thing, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but the fact that we had 4 turnovers and we didn't allow anything. A lot of times in a game like that, we fumbled it. We had just a miscue right there. It's really cold out. But we just came back out, we didn't let it affect us, and we just kept moving on. And again, I think this is something we've seen from this team, is they haven't been faced by stuff. They give up a long pass play, or they get some penalties called against them, they still buckle up that chin strap a little bit tighter, they put it behind them. It's one play at a time, and I think that's why we've been as successful as we've been, and hopefully we can continue doing that for this week and maybe 2 weeks after that.
Main Street Sweets is your hometown sandwich and ice cream shop. Located in the heart of downtown West Branch, between Reed's Beans and the West Branch Emporium, Main Street Sweets offers great burgers, tenderloins, cheese balls, and more. And don't forget the ice cream. Main Street Sweets, locally owned and operated by my wife Jessica and I, where we're always proud to support our hometown.
Let's talk about some other playoff action. There were some fun games all around the state, but specifically talking perhaps the 8-1A games, Matt, and I went ahead and typed up the put the seeds on them for the next round, so you kind of see where we're at. But go ahead and give us a score breakdown there, and then we'll talk about the other games as well.
Sure. So some other playoff action here. Van Meter, who West Branch faced in the quarterfinals last year over in Van Meter, they defeated Pella Christian 38-12. And then also in that, I guess they're calling them pods or brackets. I guess they're brackets. South Central Calhoun defeated Mount Air 56-22.
Side note on that one for you. Mm-hmm. South Central Calhoun scored 56 points. They've played 10 games this season. How many points do you think they've given up?
56. Jeez.
Yeah, pretty solid football team on that side of the on the defense as well.
That's not bad. So yeah, that'll set up a number 6 South Central Calhoun at a number 1 Van Meter. Dyke New Hartford, this was one I was kind of following on Twitter for the majority of the night, and it was really close back and forth game. But Dyke New Hartford defeated Panorama Panora 21-14. And then West Lyon, who had to travel 3.5 hours, I think, over to Osage, that sounds familiar, defeated Osage 55-14. So that sets up a number 5 West Lyon at a number 4 Dyke New Hartford, which I think is a 4.5 hour drive for them. And then West Sioux defeated Underwood 42-7. And probably one of these games that, you know, you're taking, you know, taking polls of playoff predictions and all that kind of stuff. One of these games that was could really go either way. But Trainer came out on top of Western Christian 21-10. So that's up, sets up a number 9 Trainer at number 3 West Sioux. And then in West Branch's bracket, West Branch, as we've talked about, defeated Northland 23-0. And Iowa City Regina defeated Mediapolis in a close game at 23-19. So as we'll get into next, that sets up a number 11 Regina at a number 2 West Branch. So that is your 1A playoff brackets. And then I did want to touch on some of the 2A stuff as well, just in the context of other opponents that, of the 2A opponents, excuse me, that West Branch has faced this year. Waukon, arguably the best team in Class 2A, defeated Tipton 52-6. And then West Liberty defeated Monticello 6-0. So that sets up a West Liberty at Waukon matchup. And then Williamsburg defeated Columbus from Waterloo 25-8. And the Raiders will take on Clear Lake.
Really quickly, let's break. Here's another fun breakdown for you, just for the fun of discussion. By the way, you said West Lyon 55-14 at Osage, long drive. West Branch was at 56-14, so similar score. Looking at driving distance in the second round of 1A, West Lyon will be going to Dyke New Hartford. That is 260 miles that they have to drive to play a quarterfinal football game. If they were to win that game and go to the Dome, which they'd be happy to do, add another 40. Trainer at West Sioux, 154 miles. South Central Calhoun to Van Meter, not very far. It's only 90, according to Google.
Only.
And then Regina really has to get up early to leave one to West Branch. 8 miles.
8 miles.
We'll just go with 8.
As the crow flies, okay.
As the crow
9
flies.
9 miles on Herbert Hoover Highway, but 8 yes, as the crow flies,
That's correct. So there's your mileage brought to you by, we don't have any sponsor for that either, so somebody wants that as well.
By
so,
us.
But so I think Matt and Steven, as we went, Matt, you go through the scores there. People may have talked, West Branch has scheduled this, some people outside of West Branch. Well, they had 1, 2, 3 playoff qualifiers on that schedule. Two of them won. Williamsburg and moving 2A. On in 2A. West Liberty, 2A team, moving on. Tipton played the number one ranked team in the state. Unfortunately, they ran into the number one team in the state, that is Waukon, and they're very, very good.
For over 50 years, the Fulwider Insurance Agency has provided quality insurance coverage for the West Branch area. The Fulwider Agency provides superior customer service and quality insurance solutions for you. As independent agents, we're able to find the best insurance products and services available to protect you, your family, and your business. Visit their website at fai-wai.com or call 643-2695 to ask for a free insurance review. the Full Wider agency proud to support the West Branch Bears.
West Branch plays Regina. Time-honored rivalry, I guess, over the last 20, 30 years. Maybe some other things have added to the heat, as they call it. It's the heat of the rivalry. But they don't play each other as much as they used to. The last time these two teams faced off was 2016 in a first-round playoff game, and Regina defeated West Branch by a very wide margin that night. And 2015, perhaps one of the better football games I've ever watched in my life. Regina number one, West Branch number two. That was a quarterfinal game, 35-28, your final. The Regals won then. The last time West Branch has defeated Regina, Matt, you weren't even in high school. Not only that, you weren't even in junior high yet. 2004, I believe.
Say, was 2004
was the last time that West Branch defeated Regina.
I was in junior high then.
You were?
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm not that young. Come on. I'm getting
okay.
old.
Okay. Middle school. Old. How about that? We'll call it maybe sixth grade.
I think it was sixth grade.
Yeah. So we'll go with sixth grade. Barely. Steve and I were not in middle school at that point, but it's been a while. Why I'm
you
saying
were
middle
aged
is,
at that point.
I was, well, not quite. Oh, but D, you're.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
He misses a week and he just gets full of snark.
I know.
Yeah, guy doesn't wake up and here we go. We're the old guys. We wake up, you know, Stephen. That's what it is.
We had to wake up to go to the bathroom because we're so
right,
old.
Exactly.
That's right. Well, the Regals, Regina, 8-2 on the season. Their two losses, as Matt will have shown down on our breakdown here. They two losses came in the opening game of the season, 35-0 to Xavier, the defending 3A champion.
I think had an early exit from the playoffs.
They did, losing 9-3, I believe, wasn't it?
To North Scott.
Yes, a little bit of a surprise. North Dot, not take anything away. They've been a top 10 football team all year, so not to take anything away from them. Their second loss was in the final week of the season while they played for a district championship against Dyke New Hartford. They actually led that game 10-7, and then it was all Dyke New Hartford after that. 42-10 was your final. And last week, of course, Matt said, and back and forth, and seven lead changes in the Regina-Mediapolis game, 23-19.
Mediapolis, they had a lot of opportunities to win that game. A couple dropped interceptions as I was watching the film. And then their last drive of the game, fourth and goal, at I think maybe the 6-yard line, 8-yard line, something like that. Wide open guy in the end zone. Unfortunately, they missed him. And Regina got the ball back and just ran out the clock.
Yep, they did what they needed to do to win it. And well, that's what?
Yep.
People wanted it. They got it. It's Regina. It's West Branch. 8-2 versus 10-0. Don't care about the seeds. 11-2. Throw that stuff away.
It really doesn't matter.
There's always been some good football games in this matchup, gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those rivalries that, you know, it's cliche, but you throw out the records. I mean, obviously, the last time we played, you know, we were a mash unit coming in. You know, we had our best wide receiver playing quarterback and a lot of other things. Regina was in the midst of however many state championships in a row that they were having. And so, you know, it was a David versus Goliath, and, well, the Giant won that time. But, you know, the year before that, and even some of those others, you know, it has been since 2004, since the Bears
2005,
won,
actually.
2005, that the Bears last won in the series.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at the rest of those games, and it's not like it's ever been, you know, a huge blowout. The margin might be 2 or 3 touchdowns, but, you know, that's just where things get away at the end. But, you know, it's a situation that, you know, two really good coaching staffs, a lot of respect going back and forth between them. They know the game. They know how to scout. They know how to break things down. You're not going to find a team that's more prepared than Iowa City Regina coming in, except maybe West Branch. I think you could put both of those guys there that, you know, the ability to understand the game and know what opponents are trying to do. So this is really going to be a fun chess match, I think.
And look at some barn burners through the years, Matt. I'm going to do this from memory, and hopefully I get them right. 2006, I believe, was a double overtime game in the regular season. Regina wins 28-21. West Branch was actually ahead 21-7 in that game before losing. Another close one, I believe, in 2012. Casey Pence and Don and Donnie, their senior, that class, their senior season, 15-13 was the final in the regular season. Some good games in 27-9 in the playoffs. And you look at that one, the Bears were actually ahead in that game, 9-0. And Kay Jones gets hurt, changes the complexion of the game a little bit. Regina did what Regina did at the, does at that time when they were winning X amount of state championships in a row. And I think there was one more solid game, as I've already brought to it. 2015, again, one of the better games I've ever watched. 35-28, back forth, one versus two. That was a state championship kind of atmosphere, a state championship kind of game. And I look for the same thing, guys, on Friday night when these two teams battle. I mean, they know each other. They hang out with probably some of them hang out with the same crowds. Some guys date girls from Regina. Regina, you know, they date kids from West Branch. They're just that close. It's time they play, and this is it. Winner goes dome, loser stays home.
Yeah, this is going to be a heck of a game Friday. I'm really interested to see how this West Branch defense. We've been saying it all season. They are just, arguably have one of the best defenses in the class. Save for a couple of other teams, but we're going to be tested Friday for sure. Something that we haven't probably seen, or a type of offense we haven't really seen all season, is what Regina runs, or they like to run, is kind of this newfangled RPO, so run-pass option, or even a traditional read option with Ashton Cook there, and also Levi Quinlan, and then their other running back whose name is escaping me right now.
Theo Coley.
Yes, exactly. So those
and
two
he's
guys,
their leading rusher.
Exactly. Yeah. And Levi Quinlan's not too far behind either. That's a big majority of their offense there is that RPO or that traditional read option, just to get those reads at the line of scrimmage. And then Ashton really decides what to do, before the snap and as soon as the ball is snapped as well. So, going to be, very important for this West Branch defense to just stick to their keys, not overcommit to something, especially when the ball is first snapped. Levi Quinlan, he's kind of a guy that really stood out to me, at least in the games that I've watched. Really shifty kind of guy, speedy back, who can, you don't want to get him in space because he'll take off on you. And he also plays cornerback for the Regals. He's a good defender there. Alec Wick, wide receiver, 6'1", go up and get it kind of guy with some good speed. He reminds me of Trey Eagle. It's kind of a situation where Ashton Cook can just kind of throw it up and Wick is going to come down with it. 9 times out of 10, it's quite phenomenal watching their tape. So I think this is going to be the game where the West Branch defense is really going to have to show the entire state what they are really all about. Staying true to their game calls, especially on those option plays to where you don't know where it's going to go.
And perhaps, Steven, looking at it like this, you know, Regina's success, people are going to look at, hey, Alec Wick, 71 receptions, I think 1,000 and something yards receiving, 1,077 as I pull up my tab now. Obviously, he's an all-stater. He's a junior. He's been playing since he was a freshman. That's a football player right there. And defensively, also, that's a football player right there. But the key to this team, you would talk about an offense that needed something. They needed something this year to get to a successful level for Regina. They needed a healthy Ashton Cook, and they've got that this year. 2019 passing yards. He's been in every single game. He's the only guy to throw a pass for the Regals, Steven, and that is the key to their offense.
Yeah, you look, last year, the Regals, uncharacteristic for them, didn't even make the playoffs, let alone, they're used to getting to the semifinals, if not the finals, every year. And a lot of that was because they were bit by the injury bug. You can look at it and say, what happened over there? Did they forget what to... No. You can say anything you want to. The main thing was they were bit by the injury bug. When you're a Class 1A school, if you don't keep healthy, you're going to run into problems. They've been able to stay healthy this year, and that's where you see them back to that 7-2 mark. The two losses were to two of the better teams in the entire state of Iowa. And Ashton Cook, left-hander, he's got the pedigree. His dad was, as we all know, pretty darn good high school quarterback, went on, played at an all-pro level, so he's got an understanding of how to play the game. And it's just a situation where he's getting the protection, he's getting the receivers open, he's finding ways to deliver the ball down the field. And so, it's like Matt said, it's going to be a challenge for our defense just because, That passing game is going to spread things out a little bit more. So we're going to have to figure out, you know, we really need that defensive line to play like they did this past week. Try to get some pressure on Cook. Try to make it so that we can keep guys out in coverage. Otherwise, you know, if he's got time and or we're trying to blitz guys, you know, somebody's going to pop open and they could find some big holes for us.
And one more statistic, guys, I think we're not even looking at. We've looked at offense. We've looked at defense. But one thing we haven't even mentioned yet, which is going to be, I think, perhaps one of the one, two keys to the game. You always talk about field. You always talk about penalties and turnovers.
You're stealing I'll tell you my what, thunder here, Jason.
we're just trading blows from exactly. earlier. Michael Dunn,
yep.
33 touchbacks, over 50% of his kickoffs go to the end zone. The field position game, fellas, ding, 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 is going to play big. West Branch and a lot of their games have created field position with that defense. Haven't had to see 80-yard fields a lot. Well, they might see that on Friday night.
Yeah. That was going to be another one of my keys here is if you know, depending on the number of times that Regina puts points on the board and then thus has a kickoff, West Branch might have to go 80 yards on drives quite frequently Friday night. But if this defense, I mean, the defense is really going to be the key to preventing the difference that Michael Dunn makes. If this West Branch defense can go out and prevent Regina from getting into the end zone, you really limit those field position advantages that the Regina defense could possibly get. If you go out and force Regina to punt, yeah, we might still get it at the 20. But a lot of the times, if you stop them back in on their side of the field in a punt, you're probably going to have good field position at the 30, 40, maybe even 50-yard line. So, yeah, Jason, just taking Michael Dunn out of this game from a not a literal sense, but a figurative sense is going to be a huge key.
It is. Steven, here's the point where you and I have a little side discussion. And to tell Matt, he's welcome. As we get into our picks to click segment, never again are we going to give him a pick because, you know, we were nice. He slept in. We gave him a pick and it clicked.
It was a good
pick. It's not fair.
It was a good pick.
Nick, this week, buddy, you're on your own. Last week, we gave Matt the first pick, and we gave him the West Branch Bears.
Are we doing them this week?
Well, I think we are going to take the West Branch Bears again as we
I like it.
As we move forward. But here's a new segment. I had an idea.
Right.
I'm going to give everybody one shot here. This will be kind of their pep talk, so to speak. I want you to name, as we just kind of touch a little bit on it. Matt, you can go first. Our keys to the game. A key to a West Branch victory will be, go.
I think it's, just as I talked about earlier, defense, keeping contain, sticking true to their assignments even after the snap, no matter kind of what you see going on in the backfield or with that offensive line. Don't jump too early on what you think might be happening on the play because especially with that run pass option type of offense, it's either going to be a run or a pass. And if it's a run, it could be two guys that are running the ball. So yeah, just this defense is just going to have to kind of, stay a little bit more, be a little bit more conservative, stay back just a little bit, just maybe an extra half second to really actually see what the play is going to end up being.
To throw out a great cliche, keep on keeping on. Do what you've been doing all year. You know, have that fire, have that intensity, and, you know, just don't let things bother you. You know, I talked about it, you know, at the pep rally, you know, last week, you know, we had that pep rally, and I brought up some things that Tom Brands always says, and I just want to reiterate some of those. You know what? We're in the playoffs. You move to the second round, it's going to be a little bit tougher, round two than round one. If we make it on from there, it'll get tougher. But you know what? Don't even think about that. Don't worry about that. You've got one job at hand. The other thing is, if each individual takes care of their job, the team is going to succeed. And then finally, you know what? If something bad does happen, and that's where this team has been so great, don't worry about it. Don't let it bother you. Just get right back into it. You know, if we give up a long pass play, if there's a penalty, if there's a turnover, don't dwell on it. Don't hang your heads. Don't say, oh no, now what? Get back out there. Start taking care of your job. Do what you do. And if all 11 guys, all 22 guys, all 33 guys, if you include the special teams, wherever it is, if you all take care of your jobs, then the team will take care of itself.
Well, guys, here's it from me. When I was a kid, you know, outside of my father, outside of my family, I had one hero growing up in the town of West Branch, Iowa. Each Friday night in the fall, we'd go watch football games from 1981 through 1983, and I got to watch this one guy play football. He just seemed larger than life, not only because he was probably one of the taller Bears on the team, he was one of the better playing Bears on the football team, the better performing Bears. He also had a very high helmet because he had a wonderful perm for a part of those years. But he did a lot of things well. One of the only guys, probably maybe the only guy in West Branch football history to be All-State first team. Three different positions. Defensive end. Quarterback. And punter. Name me somebody else that has ever done that. I don't think you can. His name was Marv Cook. He's now the coach of Iowa City Regina. Still a friend of mine. Still a friend. But we play Regina this week, and I want West Branch to win in the worst way. Regina. Marv wants Regina to win in the worst way. He holds no ill will against the Bears. But you know what it is? It's the next game on the schedule. Don't care who it is. Just happens to be Regina this week. As Steven said, gets a little tougher each round. West Branch, Regina. They play next Friday night. That's the next game on the schedule. And whoever wins, they're going to get one more. And they're going to do it in the Unidome. Follow us on Twitter and on the Instagram at WB Bears Football. Like us on Facebook. What's that page, Matt?
West Branch Football. Search for it and like it.
You're really good. And Steven, this is your favorite part. So where do we subscribe to the show?
He did well last week with this.
What's a podcast? No, I'm just kidding. You can subscribe in any of your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I'm sure there's like 10 others that I don't know of because I've only ever listened to it in Spotify because I'm just not a podcast guy.
Hey, you're listening to the podcast now, Steven?
No, I'm not. Okay. I listened to it one time.
Doesn't want to hear his own voice, just like me. I don't want to hear my own voice after
this.
It's
because, you know, when Jason and I are up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom because we're so old, we don't know what a computer is. So
yeah,
that's true.
All you have to do, though, is in that podcast player of choice, just search for Talking Bear Football.
And you have been listening to the Talking Bear Football podcast.
Right here on westbranchfootball.com.
Take care, everyone.